Everybody, welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths, and as always, we're having a great talk, a real talk with a real leader. And before we get started, I want to give a shout out to our founding partners. Without them, this wouldn't be possible. So CMD Agency, thank you. Felicia Hall Allen, thank you for supporting me since day one. And 68 Digital, thank you so much as well. So, folks, I am so excited for today's guest. I get to share with you one of my greatest friends. So listen up. You might want to grab a notepad. This woman is incredible. I'm telling you, you're going to be inspired, informed, and in awe as you listen to this. So, Jennifer Madley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, I'm honored. It's such a thrill. I love these shows when they drop every week. I look forward to them. And just thanks for sharing your platform the way that you are.
Yeah, thank you so much. So folks, if the name, last name Magley sounds familiar to you, Jennifer's mom, Evelyn Magley, was on recently. Jennifer was kind enough to make that introduction. She is, just for to remind folks, she's the CEO of TBL, the basketball league. So Jennifer, she's so awesome. I had her on the other day and I was telling you, we were on with someone and she was like, the person was talking about tennis and she was like, oh yeah, my daughter will kick your ass.
She's so competitive. And I think that's what people don't realize, because she's very, you know, gracious and poised, but like, she's a throat snatcher, you know, she's going to get you. I definitely don't want to play her in any games. Like, it's not happening.
No, I know, but apple does not fall from the tree. So far from the tree. So, yeah. Folks, we'll get into a bit more about that and how I think some of your traits as an incredibly successful and competitive person have come from your family. But folks, so I'm going to pause for a second. Jennifer, you're currently a talent advocate at, am I going to say this right?
At Averity. Yes.
So folks, I always give you context for how I know my guests. And so Jennifer and I met her, I interviewed her for a job. She was working with me in sponsorship at an agency. And I'll tell you what, she walks in and I was like, oh yeah, she doesn't even need I need her. I need her on my team. So we both were abruptly laid off at different times from that company because of changes that the company was going through. And we have maintained and actually grown our friendship like through years and miles. And I can't even remember how long ago it was. But I was thinking about this before you know, this morning, Jennifer, is that you and I have actually, I find it kind of rare, like it's very much a mutual supporting of each other. And like, you were one of the first people, well, actually you were the first person who really believed in me and started giving me opportunities to get on podcasts. It was amazing.
Oh, I think that the biggest issue that we're all facing as women is that we're undiscovered. And I feel like we discover ourselves first, and now it's time for the world to know, you know, I feel like I'm the rock of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm the main promoter that's like, do you know what Shauna's cooking? You know, I think that's the most important thing as women and as connectors. You're a fellow connector and you have so much to share and give to the world and also receive. So that's why it's important to me to make connections and intros with powerful women that I know. And it's been wonderful to see you shine in this way.
I thank you so much. I often think back to it. And I think, again, we've like been there for each other like that through the years. And it's so appreciated. And I just pause to say it to the audience, because I think I'm thinking about this one a lot too, is there are those people who they're like the suckers, you know, they're like, yes, I will take this. And we give out of genuine desire to, but I think it's so nice when there's just this like flow of mutual support, and it does make a huge, not to be cheesy, but impact, air quote impact.
Oh, definitely. I think the biggest thing that I've learned, and I'm sure you've had the same experience, is that, is it giving if someone snatches it out of your hand? That becomes taking. I think that's what's so hard, is that when we give, our hand is open. And the biggest journey has been learning to then receive and ask back. Yeah. And that's where it's, I've had a lot of growth, but it is hard when you're giving and people start taking, you're like, wait, did I give that? Or did you just take that from me? Like, it's hard. It's getting creepy, you know? Like, so it's nice to have, you know, so many women that are all about that symbiosis of reciprocity, you know, how it works together. Yeah. That sounded really nerdy.
Yeah, that was great. Actually, when you said it, I was like, oh, okay, Jennifer, go with that.
Yeah.
So folks, I said that Jennifer is a talent advocate, but that is not even scratching the surface. So I'm going to not embarrass you, but I'm just going to say, all of the things that that I can think of that you've done. So you were a former pro athlete, former D1 college coach. I know you're like, no, stop. But yes, you've been a model. You've been a business owner, entrepreneur. You have your ladies' lunch thing that you do in Indianapolis. You have your role now. You're an author. I mean, also, folks, her LinkedIn feed slams. Like, I swear, it is the best thing. I feel like I'm actually your personal stalker. I'm constantly on there.
I'm crying, laughing.
They're so good. And I'm always like, how the hell do you keep it up time and time again? So, folks, follow Jennifer Magley on LinkedIn. The content's so good. I mean, but you're also on Instagram and TikTok, but because of you are your favorite technical recruiter.
Yes.
So that's why I say LinkedIn, because it's very much related to your job.
Yes. Technical recruiting is not the spiciest thing in the world. So we're looking to make it a little more juicy. You know, how do you land your dream job? How do you get that salary increase? You know, how do you get the person that you want to connect with asking you to lunch? Those are the kinds of things that I talk about. And recently somebody asked me, when they saw one of my goofy videos, like, what is your creative process? And I said, solitary confinement. So it's working from home, being by myself. That's why you'll see me being multiple characters, because I'm literally by myself, just trolling myself all day. So
it's so, so good, though. But the hilarity of it is because it's so true. Like, the things that you're posting, you're like, oh, right. Like the other one, you posted one the other day where it was like, you know, anybody who's looking to hire you, they usually stalk you.
Oh, they're lurking. Like, yeah, all the hiring managers, they're always lurking, getting closer and closer to the camera. It is a fascinating thing, like what's happening in hiring right now. And Shauna, I've had over like the last 6 months, about 500,000 impressions on LinkedIn. And what I'm finding, and this is so quirky for LinkedIn, is that folks like and enjoy the content. They're sending it to each other, but since it's connected with their job,
they don't actually press like.
Have you experienced that too? It's like when you have something really controversial, you're like, wow, this is performing exceptionally well with impressions. People are too scared that their boss is going to see that they like something about performance reviews and how they're awful. So,
right. Or, you know, I have really found that. And I think after when I got laid off, I actually became more active on LinkedIn after then, because I was like, I need my own voice. And I need to be out there. And what the hell am I scared of that someone's going to think? I want to have an opinion. I want to have a perspective, and that's fine if it's going to go against the grain a little bit. I'm not going to be, I don't know. I want to say like unprofessional, but I don't mean that, because what I mean is like, you know, I'm not going to be crazy, right? Or do something that's inappropriate is the word I was searching for. But I'll lean in and say what I want to say. But again, like, I want to have an opinion. And you're so right. I do notice that on LinkedIn. I'm like, okay, wait, I thought that was really good. Why did no one like that?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things, you know, probably around 60% of the folks that I place in these high-end tech roles are women and folks of color and from, you know, LGBTQ community. Like, that's my specialty, is placing really dynamic data engineers. And what I'm finding as I'm looking for them is that some folks don't even want to have their photo with their profile because they feel like it's going to go against them during the job process. And it's an interesting thing to learn how to show up online the way that you show up in person. Mm-hmm. And I've really been encouraging everyone, like, hey, put your photo out there. They're going to know who you are sooner than later. So yes, it may help you get into the door, but when they have that video interview with you, they're going to know. So it's really hard for folks, I think, right now to continue to be their authentic self. Piercings, tattoos, facial hair, natural hair, not natural hair. People are changing the way they look fundamentally to get jobs. So whether they're withholding their image or changing the image, it's fascinating to be in this talent space when it comes to diversity and even leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's such a good point. I think because something you and I have talked a lot about over the years is being able to show up like as your whole self at
yes.
work and not have to code switch, you know, not have
oh
to
my do gosh.
Things. And yeah. to your point, I want to be my authentic self. I want to be my whole self because in that interview process, because also if you want someone who's super straight and narrow and that kind of thing, well, that's actually not what I'm going to be on a daily basis. So if I don't get the job because of that, great. Actually, I'm grateful that they're going to pass on me.
What's interesting about that, about being our full selves, is the one way that I am sharing with candidates to change when they do interviews is to show a little thirst. So right now, companies want people that really want to be there. And that is something that in the past, it's like, do I play it cool? Do I, you know, I have so many other opportunities, you know? No, I say to candidates, if you are looking for a job right now, anyone watching, you are all in on that company. You want this job more than anything. There's nobody else. And then after you get off the call, you're the same way with the other company. So you got to get a little like play a mentality when you're going for a job. But you got to show that you're thirsty, like, oh, this is where I want to be. I want to be at Smith Company. My whole life depends on this. I want this. So that goes against maybe who we really are, like Shauna being so swagalicious. But if you want a new role, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to be thirsty. Even in a candidate-driven market, because that's what they're wanting for their work culture.
Got it. Air quotes, work culture. So I'm so glad that we're talking about this. And folks, we actually planned this to be very much a new year, new job thematic. So this is actually perfect, I think. And it goes, even though you are your favorite technical recruiter, it's also a lot of what we're going to talk about here and these tips and what you're finding is like job market in general specific. So
absolutely.
Folks, if you're listening and you're like, I'm not in tech or something, that's okay. You know, again, like this is all really relatable, information. So, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. And it's actually funny. So I don't think you ever met this woman, but her name is Lisa Hyman. She's a dear friend of mine. She was on the show once. And I've always gotten a lot of mentorship and guidance from her. And she was always telling me, if you go for a role, literally it's your job to get the offer. So to your point, do what you in the job, get the offer, and then you can make the decision of if you want
yes.
it or not. How many times do we go for a job and we're actually like talking ourselves out of it or trying to make a decision? Do you want the job or not? Before you even get the offer, to your point, like go for it. If you're interviewing, make them think that you really want that role.
Yes. It's great practice. It's wonderful practice to go for it. And the main way that I recommend anyone landing their dream job is to not apply. Now, I know that sounds like super crazy and I'm a technical recruiter, but look and see who has posted the job. Oftentimes on LinkedIn specifically, it will say this job was posted by fill in the blank. Consider reaching out to them through a connection request on LinkedIn, but not just hitting that connect button, personalize invite. So you want to go click those buttons, personalize invite, and then say, hey, Julie, I saw that you have this job. I'm really excited, or I'm really looking forward to learning more. Happy to be connected here on LinkedIn, Shauna, right? They're going to accept you, but they're not going to respond to your initial message. So you're going to have to follow up and say, thank you for connecting, Julie. I would love to hop on. If you're open-minded too, I would be happy to hop on a quick video call. And then you go from there. So the idea of getting a new job is connect with the person rather than just cold applying. And I know you've been in partnerships. You know that that's how things work is through people. It's through, that's how you're going to get the next job is through a person.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to pause on that because one of the things that I loved when you first told me that you went to the company that you're at, Averity, you told me about the people driven, I'll call it mission or perspective about the company.
Definitely.
So can you talk a little bit about that? And here's the reason why I'm asking this. And folks, if you're listening to this and you have trepidation about recruiters, which I've had before, because I'm like, they're not actually interested in me. They're just trying to fill a slot and they're not interested in my role.
Yeah.
To be one and done and whatever. So again, when you told me that this is the approach of the company and how you're approaching it, I was reassured and kind of like, oh, this is great. I can open myself back up to the idea of recruiters.
Definitely. So if you think about LeBron James, LeBron James has one person in his life, I would say, that's really well known. And that person is Rich Paul. And Rich Paul is the first sports agent to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And the reason why he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated is because he is the go-to guy for any athlete that's going to help them reach the next level and break through. Essentially, this is my approach at Averity. This is the Averity approach. So when you are screened or interviewed through us, you're going to get coaching. You're going to be prepped. You're going to know what the hiring manager is looking for. You're going to know all kinds of information going into the interview. And then after the interview, we're going to have a call to see, what did you like? What did you not like? What questions can we find out about you? And that's how we're placing folks as quickly as 2 to 3 weeks sometimes in full-time roles, is because there's continual communication, there's text messages. And as the kids say these days, you're not going to be left on read. So if you have an interview, we're going to find out if they want to move forward with you, usually within 48 hours. So it's a totally different approach. It's all about the quality of individual rather than just a bunch of people into roles.
Yeah. That's awesome. I can't tell you how, again, like, I just feel like it sounds refreshing. I'm like, oh, great. Gives me hope that more recruiters can take this approach.
Yeah. And also, like, you're the VIP. It's all about you, right? And that's what Rich Paul does so well. It's like, it's all about LeBron. Like, you are my LeBron. So if you don't like LeBron, if you want to be Shania Twain, she's having a resurgence. You can be whoever you want to be, but I'm going to be here to help you land the job of your dreams, you know? So I think it's all about them, you know, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So going back to like, don't apply right away. So actually you did a post about, and some of this stuff that I'm going to ask you and folks in the audience is related to things that Jennifer has posted. So again, follow Jennifer on LinkedIn. but you said something about like not applying online and where people, like, talk a bit more about just the online application process.
Okay. Now take it with a grain of salt. I landed in my role through LinkedIn cold outreach. Very, very unusual. So the numbers right now are that 70% of roles are not listed to the public that they're looking to fill. And there is an 80% chance that you're going to land in a new role through your network. So those stats are saying like, hey, if you're sitting down and you've been looking for a job, just applying day in and day out, this is why you're not landing a job, is because it's not through your network. So instead of only applying, and let's say 2 hours a day, consider maybe applying for 30 minutes or an hour, and that other hour working your network, getting people on video calls, asking people individually, I'm looking for a new role. Are you able to keep me top of mind when this role is open? ? And the person will give you a soft yes. So if you're looking for a very gentle way to close people to have them help you, are you able to keep me top of mind when you see this type of role? Yes, that is going to be the key to your next job. Those are the magic words.
Wow.
The magic words.
Really, like, over here taking
Done in volume, in volume, reaching out to every single person, because everybody knows everybody. And even if they're in marketing and you're in tech or vice versa, it's helpful that they're thinking about you. The other thing that I really think is important when you have a video call with someone is ask, who's a good referral for you? Like, who's someone I can connect you with, either in my network or an industry? And people will be so thrilled that you asked. They'll either have an ask, and if they don't, they'll say, I'll think about it. But then that leads into what? Them saying, what can I do for you? Man. And that's what you want when you're looking for a job, is you want someone saying, thank you, or what can I do for you?
Wow. Yeah. That's such good stuff. And I think a lot of times what can happen when we're job searching is you spend 3 hours on your resume, right? Or much more than that, right? I mean, people will literally like, yeah, I've been working on my resume for weeks or months. And when I have it ready, then I'm going to start outreach. And it's, and exactly, like, ha ha ha, right? My coach has been, you know, has always been a fan of what you're saying of like, talk to people. Don't just sit there. That's actually a bit of almost like punking yourself. You're saying that you're working on your job search, but you're actually a bit of stalling or wasting time. And again, because something that the amount of time people spend actually reviewing resumes, I think is shockingly low.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, perfectionism and having this ideal that, you know, it's got to look a certain way is such a killer. And also, I think the reason why people are afraid to put on the little open to work banner or to publicly share that I'm looking for a job is shame. People think that if it takes me too long to find a job, something's wrong with me. So if everybody knows I'm looking for a job for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, people are going to judge me. When the reality is it takes 5 to 6 months to land in a new role. 5 to 6 months. So we're getting behind the eight ball by not sharing our need and saying, I have a need. I'm looking for a new role. It's totally normal to be looking for a job for half a year plus.
Yeah. It's so good to hear, especially during this time, like over the last several years when there's just been this roller coaster of layoffs and it's times when you get laid off and the market is really hard to find a job. And so it's great for you to share that, you know, especially the part I've heard people say, they're like, I'm going to take, even though they're still looking for a job, they're going to take that banner, that LinkedIn, I'm looking for work or whatever, that I'm open to work.
Yeah.
Again, to your point, like that stigma or the embarrassment, the shame. And as my coach Leslie Harris says, like, people don't know that you're looking unless you tell them.
Yes. And it's also really tricky when you still have a job, because when people find out that you're looking, you know, then there's backlash with loyalty. And also what happens, what I see a lot of with counter offers, people that accept a counter offer to even stay, their lives are miserable for the next half year. So it is a tricky thing when you're looking, you're like, oh, I still have a job, or I'm finishing out a contract. You know, what do I do? Ping people privately and ask them to, you know, keep you top of mind. Look, 18 months is the average time that people are staying at roles in tech. So that means finding a job is a life skill now, because our careers will actually change and our jobs will change multiple times. 18 months. So you are always going to be in the cycle of looking for a new role and interviewing. So this is something I think that we as a culture can start talking about more, is how do we do this? How do we land this? Because this definitely wasn't in my life skills class in high school.
I don't actually think I had a life skills class in high school.
Yeah, I mean, I went to high school for like 1 year, so maybe that's why I did it.
No, I mean, it is really so true. And it actually brought me back to your story and your evolution of I was thinking about this earlier. First, when I was thinking about it, I was using the word like reinventing yourself so many times as I talked about all the different roles that you've had in this world. But I actually think a better way to think about your specific is like, you're constantly like taking it to the next level and doing either tangential things or completely new things. And the reason why I'm segueing to this is because as people are hearing this related to the job market, I think it's really interesting. If it is a new skill set to learn how to take a chance and try something new, whether it's tangential or it's completely, I would love for you to talk a bit about mindset, whether that's your own experience or how do you talk people through that, because so many times people are like, they're afraid to try something new because they doubt themselves or, you know,
I got to say that, no is my love language. So if you reject me, if you criticize me, if you come for me, I'm just going to keep getting better and better because I am anti-fragile. All right. So every single time that I post something, I'm exposing myself vulnerably for a troll, for someone to troll me and for me to troll myself and say, God, that was awful. That sucked. So my aim is not yes. My aim is how many no's can I get today? And if I don't get a certain number of no's, that means homegirl wasn't asking enough of everyone else. I wasn't applying to enough jobs. So if you shift your mindset of I'm going for no, you will inevitably get a yes. Yes is inevitable. Success is inevitable when you go for no, because it means you just keep going. You got that greed. You got that dog, as my uncle would say. You got that thing. So I would encourage people, go for no.
That's such a great thing, because I think it is this like almost obsession with I have to get the yes. It's about the job.
Right.
And you know, you remember hearing me say when we were working together, it's like control what you can control. You can control the effort. You control the way that we think about it, the approach to it every day, that kind of thing. But we, you know, again, like we can't control exactly when that yes is going to come. And sometimes a lot of these no's are actually, we should be like, thank God. I mean, if I think about that, I wish I would have been like, oh, that's a no. I need to thank God. You know what I mean? Just and keep going. Because sometimes, like, what is that saying about, like, rejection is protection? Which I know some people think is kind of cheesy. But I do think that sometimes we have a definition of the timing around when certain things happen or what does success actually look like. And sometimes
right.
I think, like, we get in our own way because something else is presented to us and we're like at a different time and we're like, well, that's not what was on my plan. Well,
right. Yeah. I think of everything, whether it's a job, whether it's a LinkedIn post, no matter what it is, it's always a piece of gum. If I offer you a piece of gum and you don't want it, right, and you don't take it, my life isn't over. I'm not rejected. I'm not going to go curl up in a little piece of ball. Like, hey, I was trying to help you, so the breath didn't stink, right? We were just offering a piece of gum. It isn't me. So if you're able to take yourself away and say, this is just an offering. This is not my heart and soul. It doesn't hurt. You know, I'm not destroyed if you don't want the gum. And I think it's the same way going for jobs. It's harder when you have to provide for your family, but everything's a piece of gum to me. You want a piece of gum. Shauna, is that off? That is so intense.
It's intense, but it's so great. I know you're intense. I'm intense.
So this guy intense.
I say that with the utmost love and affection and adoration. There's a guy who I work with now and he was like, Shauna, you're so intense. You're like a wild animal. And I started cracking up and I'm like, okay, so within 10 minutes of meeting me, you told me I'm intense. I'm a wild animal. He's like, no, I mean that in a good way. But I think it is, you know, again, it's that, and I actually think a lot of it comes from just that survival skill. It's that innate, it also from athletics, you know, you're a tennis pro. I mean, how many times for you to go about that and, you know, at such a young age as you did and continue and everything, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of that, just that grit, that stick-to-itiveness. You're just going to fight and fight. So.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like when you grew up around the people that loved you most and then your coaches telling you, not good enough, you know, when the world says you don't fit or not good enough, you're like, I'm already enough. I've heard this my whole life, okay? And maybe this means you care about me. Let's see what else there is here, you know? I mean, when it comes down to it, you're like, okay, so you're saying I've got a chance. You know, you definitely have a mindset of someone giving you feedback, whether you want it or not. You're going to weigh it, but it's not going to destroy you. Nobody's going to make me run until I throw up. Well, you can't touch me, you know?
Yeah.
What am I afraid of, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the privilege of sports. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's also something to it where, like, when I have my approach that I do in life, that, like, never quit that just fighter mentality, find a way to win, it's not about pleasing other people or impressing other people or looking for other people's approval. I'm literally trying to prove myself to myself. And yeah, there's times where I'm disappointed if I miss something, but I'm also trying to look at it and go, shit, what could I learn from that, right? So if
Yes.
you lose the game match, if you whatever the thing is,
Yes.
if I fall off my bicycle doing whatever, I'm actually can look at it and go, what can I actually learn from that? And I do think a lot of what happens for reasons. And sometimes I try not to, I actually learned this in the last couple of years, not overlearn from something. Because we can do that, overlearning, and then take it to, be hard, so hard on ourselves. But there is an element of what can I learn from this? But again, it's all for like, how can I make myself better? And how can I get myself, as I was saying, we were talking about with your journey, like constantly get to that next level. So it's not about other people. It's not about seeking other people's approval.
And it is a balance because I mean, I think when I wrote my little post that went viral when I was laid off, is I'm not special. And that's hard. Like when you realize when stuff happens to you that you are not special, you are not unique, like things still happen to you regardless of how on track you can be. That is a new kind of lesson to learn, like that this thing is so out of my control despite how hard I give and how much I do. Like give effort wise, like this can still go off the tracks at any moment, at any moment, at any moment. So I'm, for folks that are looking for jobs that are high performers and achievers and used to winning, it's okay. Like you're going to land where you are to land. Like what's for you is for you, and the rest of them, like get out of here. You know, like you're lost. You know, like. Whatever.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And I also think that something that I've shared with people over time that I've learned over time is if like your next role doesn't have to be forever. It can be your for now role. And it's like,
Oh,
where's the
yeah.
learning to be had there? Where's the new people that you meet during that? Because it is to your point about it's a journey. It's an ev like each time again, I know I talk about evolution a lot, especially on this show, but it's like everyone is part of your evolution story.
Yes. And let me just take some pressure off of people if they're looking for a job or they don't know what to do next. All right. Here's how it go. All right. I help successful people become unstoppable. Period. It doesn't matter what my job is day to day. And I believe that you're a lot like me, that you have a life mission. And when you know that, what you do, what company, it actually doesn't matter because no matter what, you're going to continue to do that thing in whatever role you're in. So a lot of times we're just so stuck on the title and is this horizontal and what is the role? It's like you're saying, who cares? Can it help people become unstoppable? For me, that's what I weigh everything from. And the title is, it's like secondary, the work, whatever. Does it help me do what I know I'm meant to do here on earth?
I love this whole conversation because as we're talking about it, I mean, I'm even feeling less, call it stress or anxiety or about the process of job searching. And again, I think that it can be such a process where it's like you're holding your breath for the entire
Oh,
time and you're
totally.
just clinging from one thing to the next. And each conversation is so important. And I think that if we can free ourselves of that, breathe a little bit more through it and absorb some of what you're saying, it can feel refreshing and it can also feel kind of a little exciting in a way. Because again, it's a process and you're even learning from the interview process and from the applying
Right.
process.
Yeah, and this is a line from a song, and it's cringy, but it's true. There's a thousand yous, there's only one of me. And when it comes down to it, there's a thousand jobs, there's a thousand yous, okay? There's only one of me. That's what you want to remember when you're looking for a new job, is that there's only one unique you on this planet, and what it took for you to get here is so beyond anyone's premeditation. That whether you believe there's a reason or not, there's still only one of you. So don't be so discouraged. Consider being more hopeful that you're going to land where you want to be, because there this is a casting for a movie. They and the way that Shauna, the way that they cast a lot of movies is they have everybody audition for the main role, and that's how you figure out who the antagonist is. Because when this guy comes in, you're like, oh. this is definitely our villain. So don't worry if you go through a job interview. It's an open casting. You didn't get the role in that movie. Maybe you're going to be in an indie film. You know, maybe. That's how I think about it. And I know I'm laughing and it's cavalier. Well, yes, my Maslow's are currently not on fire, but they have been. I've been in some awful positions. I mean, Shauna, I shared online that at one point, the only loan I qualified for was my kids' piggy banks while they slept at night. So I know what it is to be stressed out, hair falling out, weight falling off, face breaking out. I mean, all turning into a totally different creature because of stress, chest pain, stomach, all kinds of things. So I've been there, but this is coming from a person, I am on the other side. So know that there's another side. And that there's a thousand of views, there's only one of me. There's a thousand of them, there's only one of you.
No, it's so good that you say that. And I mean, again, I'll bring it back to what we were talking about earlier with like, there are also resources. We're not completely in it alone, whether it's friends or, you know, those people that you're asking for help. Sometimes there's like comfort in being able to ask for help. And actually, it's super interesting to me when you ask for help, the responses of people, because some people you're like, oh yeah, that's my dog. That person will help me. And that person is like, crickets, no help. But then you'll get somebody else who you think you barely know, or you're not really sure how they think about you, and they are on it. They're like, yes, absolutely. Let me open my network. Let me make this introduction. So, you know, and again, it can be surprising and actually uplifting. But back to the resources thing, recruiters can also be a
Recruiters.
resource if you get the right recruiter for you and the way you work the relationship. So talk to us a bit about if we're the ones who are, you know, if you're the recruiter, as you are, what's the best way to get to maximize that relationship with a recruiter?
If you get a recruiter asking you about a job and you want more information, they give you more information and you're like, eh, this ain't for me. That's okay. Tell the recruiter this role doesn't line up with what I'm looking for, and then go one extra step and share what you're looking for and ask that soft close again, which is when you have a role that lines up with this, able to keep me top of mind. Suddenly, that recruiter is working for you. And by asking everyone that you know, even your enemies, believe it or not, there's studies that show your enemies are better resources sometimes than people you don't even know. Hit up the haters. What do you have to lose? They're gonna be hating on you anyways. You're like, hey, I know we were arch nemesis, but if you have a role, you know, able to keep me top of mind, it seems counterintuitive, but sometimes they will help you. Like you're saying, you're like, I never thought in a million years this person would provide this intro. Maybe they want to atone. You never know. Give them a chance. Hit up the haters. What a tip, Shauna. Hit up the haters.
What a tip. But I love what you said, because I think sometimes we can get paralyzed by if a recruiter brings us something and we're like, well, I don't want that role, to tell them no. Or we get nervous, if I tell them no, they won't bring me something else. But again, I love what you said, is like, just go to that next level and give them more feedback. It's like, help them to help you by telling them, well, this isn't exactly what was right about this role. And also, don't be apologetic about it. I mean, if you hit a certain factor, you want to work remotely or whatever the thing is, tell the recruiter that information, right?
Definitely. You definitely want to tell them all the things and then also follow up with the recruiter. If you feel like they're overwhelmed or maybe you're not their first priority, it's not personal. Sometimes things are going on and it just seems like you may have dropped off. Follow up with them. You can never annoy anyone. I think that's the other thing, is this fear that, oh, what if I annoy or I make them uncomfortable? You're trying to get that shmoney. Get your shmoney. Like, are you kidding me? On the other side of this discomfort is my shmoney baby. So you better believe, like, if I'm not afraid of making you, but I'm also not afraid of being tacky. So I think that's who cares? It's all about the money. So every video call that you get, every interview you have, yeah, maybe they're no's, but when you find that new job, you're going to be able to calculate how much that no actually was. It's like 50 bucks a no. So every time you get no, you're like, ooh, $50 in my pocket in the future. You know, who knows? Who knows what that number may be?
Yeah, that's such a good one. So we've talked so much about the interview process, the recruiting part, that. So let's jump a little bit into when you're in the role. And like you posted something recently about performance improvement plans.
Oh.
So what can you share with us about when you're actually in the role, if you're in a leadership position, if you're someone who's having a challenge, like
Oh
what's
my
that,
gosh.
again, once you've got that role.
Yeah, I'm in the role. I'm hired. My life is perfect now, right? We
Yeah.
all get the moment you get hired is the moment that you're guaranteeing in the future you will not have a job, whether
Oh.
you have quit, whether you get laid off. So temper the excitement with the end in sight, right? Like that's the first thing. Now, operating within a role, how do you know if it's a good fit? I mean, it sounds like that's kind of the big thing, navigating the sticky situations. It's
Right.
going to come down, in my view, to communication cadence. How frequently are you talking with your manager, and how often are they hearing you? You know, there's a lot. Are they listening? I know they're two different things, but we'll take one over the other, right? We really want them to understand what it is you're saying, because when you have that continual communication, we can alleviate and eliminate any surprises with performance evaluations, because that's what we want. We don't want surprises. We don't want a performance improvement plan out of the blue after you gave birth and you came back, or after somebody passed away and you're bereaved and they're like, well, you were gone. You know, I got rid of you. So I'm not a fan of performance improvement plans because they often indicate that there hasn't been enough money and time devoted into performance development. And that is the big difference. And Shauna, people will fight you. They will cut you on LinkedIn over this. Managers love performance improvement plans, which the most vocal ones love it. And that blows my mind. And then other people are silently suffering with the awkwardness that comes with the stress that comes from as the individual enforcing the plan. They're so stressed out. The organization loves it because it just bought them 6 months or 3 months to get rid of the person. I've never met a person. Have you ever met a person that's like, my life really changed after I got that PIP? I
It
just
helped
love
me so much.
I just love this company even more.
Yes.
No.
No, but to your point, I think that again, as people who are listening to this are people either who are in leadership positions or you are evolving yourself to be in a leadership seat. And
Yes.
I think that that continual feedback, and it's not just telling other people stuff, pointing the finger at other people, it's also like asking for that feedback so that we as leaders can evolve as well. And we're, to your point, actually shut up and listen when you get that feedback. And because I was at a place once and they literally had meetings with the manager when I first got there, like twice a year. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? No way. From working with me on the spot right then, because I want you and me to be better tomorrow. I want it to be better today. So like, what didn't go well? What did go well? What can we constantly learn from it? You
Right.
know?
So, Shauna, this really funny video I did with another recruiter just reached 100,000 views on Instagram. That was so
Oh wait, I love
exciting.
this one. I think I actually, of course I commented on it. It
No,
was so
it's
good.
the funniest. It's so funny. Like the manager's like, what can I do? You know? And it's so hard for employees to give feedback to people that have power. So my favorite question that my manager, John at Averity, asks me is, what can I do to help you succeed? And that's my favorite because I feel like an employee that hears that is going to give you feedback in the positive of what you're wanting. So that question for managers, I think, is a really valuable one. What can I do to help you succeed is different than like, what can I do to improve? Or how can
Right.
I be better? I think then
Right.
it's all about them. It's like what they need, not really a commentary on you and your style. That's one of my favorite leadership questions that I encounter day to day on our team.
Yeah. No, it's so good. And it's actually, I love that you're saying this because it's actually something that somewhere along the line I've learned. But when I ask people that, I'm literally serious. What can I do to help you every day to be better, to operate at your capacity, like max? Because I don't know if I don't ask, I can't just assume that the way I'm operating works for each individual. So, no, this is it's such a great point to make here. So, This has been awesome. So we covered so many territories.
Oh,
So folks, as you're listening again, I told you're going to be inspired, informed, and in awe of this amazing woman. So like I said, please watch out for Jennifer Magley on LinkedIn. Follow her, your favorite technical recruiter. And the last thing I will ask you, Jennifer, is I always ask if there's a takeaway that you hope that the audience has from the gamut of things that we've talked about here on this episode, what would that be?
share your need. Share your need. If you're looking for a new role, if you want your dream job, share that privately, if that's most convenient for you. Reach out and ask people for support. Ask to be kept top of mind. That's my key takeaway, is share that need. Your network's only as good as knowing how they can help you. Otherwise, it's like, why even have a network, right?
Exactly. So, thank you so much, folks. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. And Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your goodness with us.
Oh, happily.
Yeah, have an amazing day, everybody.